At an early age, I picked up my first glass of booze, and it changed my life forever. The type that I associated with were my type of people, the big actors, the big spenders, the big romancers, and the highly intelligent dum-dums. 26 years I guzzled booze. I lived in Christchurch, married with four children. You know, this disease of alcoholism, it never ever gets better, always worse. And that's where I finished up, living on the banks of the Avon River. My last glass of booze was at the Lancaster Park Hotel, and I didn't even think that I'd be able to make it. I thought I might have to crawl a part of the way. I had two hands round a jug. I couldn't even pick up a glass. And my brain was telling, I can't take any more. This is it, finished. And I more or less collapsed. I was taken over the road to a little doctor called Dr. O'Brien. And he recommended that I go out to Ferguson Clinic in Sunnyside, which is a mental institution. A drinking mate of mine, he took me out there. And his wife, she was a fairly big sort of a lady, and she knew that I was going to some sort of hospital. And she knew that I never had any pajamas. So she gave me a pair of hers, and they had the little trinkets and frills on the bottom of them. So I arrived out at Ferguson Clinic with an old brown suitcase, and in the suitcase with my shaving gear and a pair of woman's pajamas. That was 49 years ago. In 3 months' time, I'll be 90 years of age, 49 years sober. And there's a lot of things I can't do now, but I'm so grateful that I actually done them, and I didn't need booze in me. So for that, I'm so grateful. The only thing that I had left in life was my job, and that was a miracle. My family, I'd lost my wife and family, all my relations, and society. They wrote me off for being what I am. I was in Ferguson Clinic for about a month, and then I was transferred over to Mahu Clinic. That was the rehab for alcoholics. At that stage, I couldn't even function outside a mental institution. I suffered from DTs, hallucinations, and I took a lot of turns. And this little fella from Alcoholics Anonymous, little Davey, he came down on a Thursday night and he took me to my first AA meeting, which was Hornby. I just followed behind like a little puppy dog. He could have taken me anywhere. But I do remember those five beautiful words that he said to me. And I guess it's a big part of the message of Alcoholics Anonymous as we know it today. Those five beautiful words. I know how you feel. And I believed him. And, you know, he was the only, no one had ever said that to me before. And I believed him. So he took me up to that AA meeting. I think it was about 30 or 40 there that night. And the people there that night, they didn't even want to know my second name. They didn't want to know if I had any money or whether I worked. You see, they love me because I'm an alcoholic. And I seen the word God there, and I thought, that's me finished. But what I didn't see was as we understand him. I was so desperate. That's all I did. I went to meetings and I hung on to that first step like grim death. And that's all I did. The chairperson would ask me to share and I would lose communication from my brain to my mouth and I would just go in the blank. I couldn't even talk. But they didn't laugh. They knew what I was going through. They knew what I was going through. I was back at work. I was a chain slaughterman at the freezing works. It was a miracle I still had my job. And this particular day, I'm taking one of these turns and I'm lying out in the locker room and I'm staring up at the ceiling. And I knew then there had to be something. There had to be something greater than me because I was beyond any human aid whatsoever. And I remember hearing something at a meeting where this little nun, Sister Ignatia, she helped our co-founder, Dr. Bob, in the recovery of 4,000 sick alcoholics. And this one particular guy, he couldn't stop drinking and he was so desperate. And he said to the little nun, "Hey, sister, will you pray for me?" And the wee nun says, "You pray for yourself because God likes to hear strange voices." And when I cried out for help, by gosh, my voice was strange, but I was heard. I was heard. I really was. When I did get the spirituality of the program, step three, step two, step three, my will is an absolute disaster. I turn my will and my life every morning over the care of God, as I understand. And I'll tell you who's been a great help too. Frankie Sinatra, when he's singing, "We'll Do It My Way." That's a great reminder. It really is. Yes, I'm back at work and I bought a car. It wasn't that flash, but it did the job. And I said to wee Davey, I said, "How long have you been sponsoring Sunnyside?" And he said, "Oh, about 12 or 13 years. And I said, "Right, I'll take over now. The recovery will go up in this place." So 7.5 years I did that for. And I didn't get anyone sober, but I stayed sober myself. And all I did, I took them to meetings Tuesday and a Thursday night. In fact, I was pumping AA right down their throats and I was actually sicker than them. So that doesn't work. Joe Martin, Father Joe Martin, was getting around that time with his chalk talks. And they had a chalk talk out at the prison at Paparoa, and we used to go out there and support the meeting, etc., etc. And this particular afternoon, he had his chalk talk, and when he was talking, he was looking straight at me, and I'll never forget that. And he said, "You don't talk the talk, you walk the talk." And it suddenly dawned on me, all the yapping and thunder jawing, that was finished. Action, action, action. And that was a start. And when I was taken up to Hornby to my first meeting, it was an open meeting and I was squatted between two nuns. And they were hanging on to me because I wasn't a shaker, I was a vibrator. And I'll never forget this little nun, Sister Hilda. She said to me, she says, "God works through people." And I've never, ever forgot that. Never forgot it. So When I was taken out to Sunnyside, because I'll tell you now, I would have been well gone. I would have been well gone. It's been a great journey, just one day at a time. And they were talking about this one day at a time at my early meetings. And I thought, well, I'll never get that, because I lived in the fantasy world of the alcoholic, always living in the past. And then I'd be days, weeks, months, years ahead. So I put it in two halves. The first half, yesterday's sorrows and tomorrow's fears. And those unknown, ungrounded fears I have replaced in a power greater than myself, whom I choose to call God. In my early sobriety this particular day, I really didn't think I'd get through. So I rang this fella from AA. He'd been in AA for about 12 years. And I'm telling him over the phone where I wouldn't be able to make it. I couldn't make it. And he said to me, he says, get out there and see another sickie. Someone worse off than yourself. And by gosh, I didn't have to go very far. In fact, all I had to do was go to an AA meeting and listen. And after all these years, that still works for me. If I'm still having a bit of a downer, I go out and I see another sickie, and it really works. I had a lot of trouble sleeping at nights in my early sobriety, because the hatred and the revenge and the resentment was still there. It was still in my head. And the golden oldies in the fellowship, they said to me, you pray for the people. Wow, that's one of the hardest things I've probably ever done. And I will admit, when I did pray for them, I won't repeat the words I used, and they're certainly not in the dictionary, but it works. And even after all these years, if I get a resentment, I pray for that person, or I pray for those people immediately. Not tonight, not tomorrow, or the next day. I pray for them immediately. Over the years, I've met some lovely, lovely people. And there's still lovely people that I've got to meet yet. When I was guzzling booze, when I made mistakes, I didn't learn from them. I just kept on making mistakes. But today, in sobriety, I have made mistakes. But the main thing, I have learned from them. I really have. I left Oamaru in 1957. And the local police force here, they branded me as a chronic society nuisance. Now, I've been back in Oamaru for 22 years. And not one policeman's come round to see me. They don't even know I'm back here in Oamaru. I'll tell you now, I feel really rejected. And I always maintain, if I ever thought about picking up a glass of booze, I would be absolutely insane. And the fastest way for me to become insane is lose track of the fellowship, stop going to meetings, get off the program. And I'm very, very aware of this, that my defense to that first glass would weaken. There's things I want, but I don't get them. Today I have what I need. And in my early sobriety, I never ever thought that I'd ever get well. And I covered up with a Dr. Barney in the fellowship, and he was at the meeting on a Saturday night down at St. Michael's Church, and I thought, he'll be able to tell me when I start getting better. So after the meeting, I approached him and I said, Barney, when do you reckon I'll start getting better? And he looked at me and he says, how long are you guzzling booze for? And I said, 26 years. And he said, well, it won't take that long, and walked away. That's the answers I used to get. But they kept telling me, it gets better, it gets better. I never ever thought it would get better, but I hung in, and I'm a slow learner, but I'm still here. And at the dry dock meeting 28 in Christchurch, I was sober about 2 years, and this lady was over from America, and she was touring around New Zealand with her hubby. And it was about 30 or 40 at the meeting that night. And after the meeting, she came over to me. And I reckon I would have been the most morbid, miserable fella she'd probably ever seen. And she gave me this little card. And I've carried it around in my wallet. Wow, 47 years I've carried this card around. It's getting a bit tattered. And it reads, please, Lord, teach us to laugh again. But God, don't ever let us forget that we cried. Now, I put that in three parts. Never, ever do I underestimate the power of prayer. And I never underestimate the power of humour. And the last part, I must always remember that I'm only one drink away from a drunk. In sobriety, I have been in a lot of clubs and organisations which I thoroughly enjoyed, country music, electronic organs, ukulele groups and all that. But I find that there's a lot of things I can't do now. But I'm so grateful that I actually done them without having to pick up a glass of booze. You know, for that I'm so, so grateful. In my sobriety, there has been sadness, real sadness, but with the support of the fellowship, I didn't have to pick up a glass of booze. There's been a lot of highlights in my sobriety. But my biggest highlight today is seeing a sick alcoholic coming through our door and him and her staying and getting on the program and watching them recover. That's my highlight today.